This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Countries in the Middle East and their partners in OPEC make up the largest bloc of the world's oil producers. That's been cause for concern lately because of political unrest in many of those countries. There is still oil to be found in the United States. It may not be enough to run the country, but combined with oil outside of OPEC's control, there could be enough to lessen the dependence on Middle Eastern sources. In the second part of a series on oil in the world market, NPR's Christopher Joyce reports on the people who are trying to squeeze just a few more drops out of American soil.
In a sun-baked pasture in East Texas, a dozen blue trucks are parked in a circle. They surround a wellhead, a paved square with a 12-foot-high steel pipe stuck into it like a giant dart. Hoses run from the trucks to the pipe.
Job assignments. We're going to start out. JD's on a pod. On the tanks, it's going to be Chris Robin Lewis, Maurice Williams, Grego, Billy Jr.
Site manager Sammy Boggs gives instructions to a crowd of oil workers.
On the sand, it's going to be Jeff Smith and Christopher.
Oil companies drilled here 70 years ago and left. But engineers from Anadarko Petroleum Corporation believe there's more to be found.
We're sitting on a bad spot on the other side today, so think about escape route. Maybe behind the tanks on the other side of the pit, but we don't want to walk in between the equipment out there.
These workers are doing a frack job. They'll pump truckloads of high-pressure water into the ground to fracture underground rock, where hard-to-reach oil and gas are trapped. It's noisy work, and if a hose breaks, dangerous.
We're going to pressure test to 15,000 pounds just to make sure that nothing pops once we start pumping.
Jeff Staley has the stocky look of someone who's spent years wrestling with oil rigs. He's now an engineer with Anadarko. He vaults over water hoses and muddy ruts toward a trailer, a safer and quieter place.
Hey guys.
Inside, engineers monitor computer screens as water is pumped down the wellbore and into the sandstone 3 miles below.
The reservoir that we're drilling into is so tight, it would be like, you know, like a piece of concrete. So we're going to try to create this crack, and we're going to fill that crack up with sand that has good porosity and permeability.
The sand follows the water to prop open the crack. Oil and gas will rise through the sand to the surface.
And we're at about 41 barrels a minute at 10,000. We're still working our rate up.
All eyes watch a horizontal red line on the computer screens, the water pressure. When it suddenly drops, there's a quiet nodding of heads, the engineer's equivalent of high fives. The rock has cracked. Time to start adding the sand. Fracking is a technique that's growing more popular as the oil reserves in the U.S. become more mature. In the oil business, mature means over the hill, running out.
Most of these targets that we are chasing now tend to be deeper, and they tend to be not as large as the easy stuff that was found earlier in the century.
Tony Pelletier is a vice president at Cabot Oil and Gas in Houston. He's an optimistic man. He has to be. Oil reserves in the U.S. are dwindling. Wells in this country now provide only 40% of U.S. consumption. Exploration and drilling companies, the independents as they're often called, have invested heavily in new technology. One favorite is three-dimensional seismic imaging. If Superman were a geologist, this is how he'd use his X-ray vision. Stuart Hirsch is a Cabot geologist.
Previously, you could only image things that were maybe 100 feet to 200 feet thick. Now you can actually image buried strata that are only 10, 15, 20 feet thick down at 16, 17, 18,000 or more feet in the subsurface.
Huge trucks pound the earth to make subterranean sound waves. Those waves change velocity as they pass through different layers or strata, or through structures like salt domes that trap oil and gas. Pelletier says the new seismic techniques have kept domestic oil and gas discovery profitable.
It's been a dramatic improvement in that it's allowed geoscientists to move from a nominal 10 to 15% success rate in wildcat drilling years ago to 50 to 60% success rates.
There's another new way to find hydrocarbons. You go to the Houston Convention Center. Recently, independent companies, the explorers and drillers, have been coming to the North American Petroleum Expo in Houston to trade prospects, suspected oil and gas reservoirs. Deemer True, head of the Independent Petroleum Association of America, says oil companies used to hoard these prospects like secret formula. That's all changed.
I describe it as sort of a flea market. People can come down here and see nationwide deal after deal after deal in small areas that you'd never hear about otherwise.
The oil people here huddle over maps and haggle over squiggles and seismic images of rock that's miles deep. Entrepreneur Vivek Chandra is here to plug his internet site where geologists can make these deals in cyberspace.
The larger companies, the big majors that we call, are typically selling off their fields to the smaller companies who have the lower overhead, who have the ability to really extract the last bit of value from these fields.
They extract it with new kinds of diamond drill bits, with wells that go straight down and then turn out horizontally, sometimes for miles. They inject steam or carbon dioxide to force sticky oil out of rock, or fracture the rock, as Anadarko was doing in East Texas. Bill Sullivan is Anadarko's vice president for exploration and production.
The easiest place to find more oil is in the oil fields you've already found. And if we can use technologies to squeeze that sponge a little bit harder, so to speak, and get a little bit more oil out of it, that's good stuff too.
The North American sponge won't provide anything like independence from Middle Eastern oil. But major reservoirs deep in the ocean may help blunt Middle Eastern influence. There is also more oil and gas in the coastal waters of Florida and California and in Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Those reserves may remain untouchable until the industry can convince skeptics they can exploit them without damaging the environment. And conservation at home could help stretch domestic resources. As to when the North American oil sponge will be wrung dry, oil executives don't like to speculate. But it's worth looking at where they're spending their money. Two out of every three new drilling rigs in the U.S. are not drilling for oil at all. They're drilling for natural gas. Christopher Joyce, NPR News, Houston.
Tomorrow, how conservation and fuel efficiency could cut foreign oil imports by half. The Bush administration says it has no plans to release oil from the government's Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Earlier this week, Congressman Billy Tosin, a Republican from Louisiana, urged the Bush administration to tap into the reserves. He says several refineries along the Gulf Coast will run out of oil soon because of the political unrest in Venezuela. A 24-day general strike against Venezuela's president, Hugo Chavez, has all but stopped the country's oil exports. Earlier this week, U.S. crude oil prices rose to more than $32 a barrel. That's the highest they've been in 2 years. Analysts attribute the increase to the freeze of oil exports from Venezuela and worries over a possible war. White House spokesman Ari Fleischer says there are about 592 million barrels of oil in the emergency stockpile. He says officials will continue to monitor the situation, but there's no reason to release supplies from the reserve.